Hey, folks, and welcome to Movie Crush. It's Chuck Bryant here in the studio in Atlanta. And this week, I was lucky enough to sit down with Miss Brandi Posey. She is, well, she's a comedian, a comic, very, very funny. And she is also one of the three co-hosts on Lady to Lady, the awesome podcast from the Maximum Fun Network. And I love those ladies, and they're great. All the folks over at Max Fun are always so great and kind to me, and they have such a great lineup of shows. But Brandi came in this week as part of the Red Clay Comedy Festival, so I was able to rope her into coming in the studio. And we had a great conversation about The Cable Guy, which was her pick for favorite movie, and there was really no hesitation on this one. Brandi was all in on The Cable Guy. And, of course, the Ben Stiller-directed film. He also had a little bit part in it with the wonderful Jim Carrey and Matthew Broderick and a whole host of amazing co-stars like Jack Black before he was really Jack Black, and a little-known Owen Wilson at the time. I think even Mr. Bob Odenkirk has a small part. So it's really, thanks to Ben Stiller, chock full of really, really funny people. George Segal, I mean, does it get any better than that? So we had a really good talk about it. And it's one of my favorite movies, and we exchanged our favorite lines and just had a really good time. So here we go with Brandi Posey and The Cable Guy. So where did you grow up?
Baltimore. Well, I say Baltimore because nobody actually knows anything about Maryland.
You're probably right there.
Yeah. Like half an hour outside of Baltimore.
Okay.
45 from D.C.
So like Baltimore, D.C. suburbs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 10 minutes from Annapolis. Like that was the city I always went to.
Oh, okay.
Which is cute because it's all like cobblestone roads and the Naval Academy is there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like on the water. It's great.
Yeah.
And like everyone I know where I grew up has at least like one like spy in their family basically.
Oh, really?
Because we're in the D.C. suburbs.
Wow.
Like everybody has somebody in their family that works for the government.
And you well, don't, I never really thought about that.
Yeah. It's a weird place. My next door neighbor was a Secret Service guy for George W. Bush.
Oh, wow.
And he was, like, always in, like, the background of shots whenever Bush was on TV. He'd just be like, oh, that's Steve. It's just, you know, gonna take a bullet for the president. Just see him outside, like, painting his fences all the time. You're like, oh, hi, Steve. Glad you didn't get shot yet.
Oh, you thought he was painting fences.
Yeah, I know. It's just protecting.
We just did a Stuff You Should Know episode on Secret Service. So
right
afterward, I did all this research, and I was like, man, that's a sitcom.
Yeah.
That needs to happen.
Truly.
Is like a Veep-style Secret Service sitcom.
Yeah.
So I wrote down some notes and then I'll never touch it again. So you can have it if you want it.
Well, I like the idea of like a show about like the West Wing, but like the working class of the West Wing.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like what's happening with the chefs. Like what?
Yeah, the White House chefs.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd
yeah.
be very cool.
Secret Service guys. I like all the everyone's code names are always really fun.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite part about being – I think that would be my favorite part about being president.
Choosing like, a code name?
Yeah.
And for like, everything?
People have to call you by your code name.
Right. That's awesome. Did you go to – like what was your relationship to movies growing up? Were you like a mall kid who was always in the theater?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I always went to like – I was obsessed with TV and movies and stuff like that when I was a kid. Like I remember the first movie I ever remember seeing was Total Recall. Like, I remember being, like three and seeing Total Recall.
yes.
Too young. Horror movies are the only movies I don't mess with because when I was
– Oh, still?
Yeah. Because when I was four, I went to my first sleepover in my ballet – with my ballet class, and the parents showed us Child's Play 2.
What?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow.
And Pet Sematary.
Uh-huh.
And it ruined my life for a good 5 to 10 years. And I still am just like, nah, I'm good. I don't like the way that makes me feel.
Right.
I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like gore or anything like that, but it's more just like the stress of it. I don't know. But to this day, I can't look at Chucky. I can't deal with it. I've never watched any of the other movies. And it sucks because that like string of movies has become like so ridiculous too.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, oh, you're scared of those? And I'm like, I mean, I was four and I had dolls. My dad had these – I built these shelves on the top of my room that like all my like dolls and like toys sat on.
Uh-huh.
And so before that it was cute, but then after that
sleepover,
they just
creepy.
Like watched me sleep.
Uh-huh.
So I would like throw the covers over myself and like contort myself to look like dirty laundry. It's like my thought process. I was like, this is how I'll survive the night.
Uh-huh.
And I did that. Didn't tell my dad for like 5 years. because I didn't want my dolls to overhear me right. telling my parents right. that I was afraid they were going to kill me.
Yeah.
So I made a hell of my own making.
It's funny, that sheet protection thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you still do that? Not the, like, make yourself into laundry, but yeah. do you still feel protected by a bed sheet?
I do. Yeah. It is like you can't just, like, it – I have to be in a very special place to be able to take a nap without a blanket of some kind. You know what I mean? You can't just, like, sleep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I watch my dad is, like, the king of, like, the lazy boy nap. And I'm always like, how are you doing that? You're so right. you're so exposed.
Yeah.
How do you not – I could slit your throat right now.
So you don't sleep on planes or anything like that?
I can on that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because I guess I trust the TSA. I mean, I definitely shouldn't because I've gotten some shit through.
Yeah.
But no, I when it's like convenience versus not, like when I'm just like, I don't want to be awake for this next 6 hours, uh-huh. I can like knock myself out on a plane.
Yeah.
I can sleep sitting up, like that kind of like sitting.
Yeah, me too.
But laying down, I feel like I need a blanket or of some kind. Otherwise, I just feel like I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah, I think that's super common. Like I yeah. have literally, and it wasn't a conscious thing, but in the past, like, I feel like in the past 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. have just like started sleeping on top of all covers.
Wow.
At night where it doesn't bother me.
What's it feel like to have that kind of confidence?
I feel bulletproof, Brandy.
Yeah, man.
It's weird though, because sometimes though I'll wake up like not necessarily a nightmare, but you know, just that like wake up when you just feel like slightly disturbed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I will get under the covers so fast
yeah.
that like your head will spin. And yeah. so it's still a thing for sure.
It's probably some caveman thing that we don't 100%
I bet you're right.
with, you yeah. know? I always think about that whenever, like, you know, your hair is standing up on edge. And I'm just like, what did my
right.
the 8% of me that's Neanderthal, what are they thinking right now?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, all this shit comes from that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so much of it does, yeah.
If you boil it down.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you were talking about the sleepover, though. Like, uh-huh. were your parents strict about stuff, or could you get away with watching kind of whatever?
It's weird because, like, my dad's, like, an action movie guy. Mm-hmm. He is sci-fi, and I could watch anything with him.
Right.
But I wasn't allowed – it was very lax, but I also, like, never pushed it. But I wasn't really allowed to watch MTV or The Simpsons or Married with Children. Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh, no, come on, Mom. Let me watch Married with Children.
Yeah.
It's like, no, but I –
that's funny.
I also just – it's like I don't have, like, that encyclopedic knowledge of The Simpsons the way so many, like, uh-huh. my friends do. Because I've seen most of the good episodes, but,
right.
like, not, like – I don't have, like, that.
Yeah.
Some people just have that well of Simpsons knowledge that I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some for the early, like – I mean, I was a big, big fan for the first
– Yeah.
The good years.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I've heard it's good again, but I quit watching eventually, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's so much.
It's hard.
Yeah. There's so much out there. But, yeah, I mean, I watched a ton of movies. Like, I could watch anything with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always down to see stuff. And I remember, like, begging to be able to go see stuff at the theaters. Like, that's where all my money went to.
Right.
Yeah. My money has, like, I don't drink or smoke or do drugs. So my money has always gone towards uh-huh. Movies and, like, concerts.
Right.
That's, like, where I'm always just yeah. as broke as my other friends. But I'm like, no, I saw a band 5 times.
Right.
on a tour, so.
Well, that's valuable, though.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. 100%.
It's better than waste your money on drugs, right?
I think so. Kids.
Yeah, listen to that.
Hear that?
So you grew up with your – well, you're younger than me, so you probably were all DVD, right?
Not
or did you
really.
Have a little VHS
a little,
going on?
I had VHS. So I'm 33. DVDs didn't really become a thing until I was like maybe a freshman in college or maybe my senior year of high school.
Oh, okay. So your main media as a kid.
Yeah, it was all VHS. Yeah, yeah. I resented DVDs. Mm-hmm. And to this day, out of spite, will not buy Blu-rays because
– Oh, really?
Yeah. I
they're too good.
I just resent having to rebuy things that I love in different media.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I like still have my VHS collection at home in Maryland. Like, it's uh-huh. in like a box and it's like, no, these were the tapes that I watched over and over again
yeah.
with the previews that I love.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like that's just, you know, it's like my sacred stuff. Like all, I'm a huge Jim Carrey freak, and I have like every one of Jim Carrey's movies like until 2002 or whatever on VHS, and it's just like that's I will never rebuy them.
Yeah,
because also the OCD part of my brain is once I rebuy one of them, I need all of them.
But, yeah,
and I'm trying not to just have like physical media, so it's like
right.
you know, no. So I resent when I bought a couple of DVDs, had a bunch of those for a while, and then when Blu-ray came out, I was like, oh, okay, your box isn't even the same size? Yeah. Screw you. What are you doing? Make it the same size. Some of us don't want to have to redo this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll do it.
Well, that's a good segue into Cable Guy, which
yeah.
you're – what was the other movie you were going to choose?
Probably either Zoolander or Ace Ventura 2. Might have been Ace Ventura 2.
Oh, I think it was even something different.
I got a couple on the top. I mean, there's –
It's tough because yeah. – and this across the board, everyone that I've asked immediately I think goes into a mild panic
yeah.
about going public. And that's kind of part of the show is like
for sure.
a favorite movie is a big thing to say out loud mm-hmm. to people.
Well, and it's so hard because I feel like movies in a lot of ways, if you love the medium, like they kind of work the same way music does where uh-huh. it's like I definitely rewatch stuff as like comfort food a lot more than I think
for sure.
to seek anything new out. Like I really like dramas. I have to really be in the right mood to watch it because uh-huh. I mostly just want to like use movies as like an escape and like
right.
that kind of thing. Like yeah. that's definitely where my sweet spot with it goes. So yeah, it's such a personal choice, but it's also like I have so many different things for what I need in the moment.
Right.
You know, more than anything else. But
well,
yeah.
Let's talk about Jim Carrey for a minute then.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
What's where did that start? Give me your history there.
So Jim Carrey, I like to this day have not missed the opening day of a Jim Carrey movie since
really?
Ace Ventura 2. It's a tradition that I keep for myself.
That's so great.
Tradition.
I love that.
That includes a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, number 23, everything.
Oh, sure.
I
yeah.
mean, I
like
saw,
some bad stuff even.
Yeah, yeah. But I also like – he has never been bad in a bad movie, if that makes sense,
uh-huh.
where even if the movie is not good, he brings – I understand why he picked all the stuff that he picked because I'm like, on paper, this seemed interesting.
Right.
And your part is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, and a lot of people just don't know how to manage him correctly.
What was number 23? Was that any good? I mean, I remember it.
It's
it
better,
was the – not horror, right? Thriller?
It's a thriller.
Uh-huh.
It's better than you think it's going
to
be.
To check that out.
Yeah. It's actually – the first two acts are really good. The third act kind of falls apart, but I blame that on Joel Schumacher. More yeah. than anything else.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot you can blame on Joel Schumacher.
Truly. But when I was a kid, I remember seeing Ace Ventura 2 mm-hmm. in the movie theater. I had a good grandma and a bad grandma. My bad grandma took me and my brother to a movie, and it was Ace Ventura 2.
Uh-huh.
And
bad as in permissive or
– No, just like not – She was like
not fun and awesome.
Sicilian okay. Catholic grandmother, yeah. had crackers, no snacks, would always watch golf. And, like, didn't think children should speak.
Yeah, gotcha.
But she, like, out of – because my other grandmother was so great and, uh-huh. like, was cool and, like, taught us to read and played cards with us and stuff. So every once in a while, out of, like, some sort of guilt, my bad grandma would be like, fine, we'll go to a movie. What do you guys want to go see? So uh-huh. she took us to go see Ace Ventura 2, which was, like, the first time I think I really knew who Jim Carrey was.
Would she actually go to the movie or would she just drop you off?
She came to the movie.
Oh, wow.
And she hated that movie in such a deep way.
That says a lot.
Until the day that she died,
uh-huh.
every time that she would see me, the first thing that she would ask me is, do you still like that Jim Carrey?
Really?
Truly.
Wow.
Truly. For the next 25 years. and then I would say, yes, he is a childhood hero of mine.
Yeah.
And she would just go, ugh. And then she would never ask me another question about myself.
Wow.
I remained a mystery to her until she died because
yeah.
she could not get over that movie. That's how deep the spite runs in my veins.
Man, that is bad grandma.
Yeah, it's – no, not a good grandma. She wasn't very fun. My other one was like my best friend, so I was lucky
right.
in that way.
That's
but
good.
But that movie, I remember Ace Ventura 2, and it was like he is this like – this mix of like innocence and anarchy on screen together that
yeah.
I always like – I was never a shy kid, but I was always a quiet kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, I never really – I've never been one to, like, fight for a place in conversation. I'm always just like, okay, I'm not going to, like – you want to hear me talk, you can ask me.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to, like, sit here and, like, try to jump in.
Uh-huh.
You know. But I he just, like, was such, like, the opposite of all of that in his movies that it was, like, this – he represented, like, this other side of the spectrum
uh-huh.
that I'd never – I never realized that's how far the spectrum went.
Yeah.
So it, like – he like inspired me to come out of my shell a little bit because he was just like very just so outgoing in that stuff and was
yeah.
just so present and crazy and just was man I was obsessed with him. And then like reading his bio and stuff as a kid, like I mean his early life was really crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, he's like homeless in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I mean, his he's got like a really, really interesting story. And I just was like really obsessed with like, you came from nothing and you made yourself into this. And he just really like was like a hero of mine as a kid.
Yeah. I remember hearing the one story about he wrote himself a check or something like that.
Yeah. Well, so he like he was a comedian for a long time. He got a show in Los Angeles called The Duck Factory, which you haven't heard of it because it only had eight episodes.
Oh, wow.
And he played like the straight man, which is – no, it's yeah. – I've seen clips. It's not great. But he moved his whole family to Canada and he had like a his dad was like a CPA, but he got fired because of
right.
computers and he could never get another job. His mom was a hypochondriac who was always in bed. So he like moved them here to take care of them and then the show gets canceled.
Mm.
And he like can't afford to keep his parents here anymore. So he like drove to the top of Mulholland Drive and like wrote him a check himself a check for like $10 million.
Wow.
And like kept it in his wallet until he could cash it just as like a – this is the goal.
Yep.
And I need to like – this is what I need to like move on. And just like that kind of like – single-minded just determination is just always just – he's just been very inspirational in a lot of ways. And he's obviously like problematic and a weirdo and I never actually want to meet him because I'm like –
I was going to ask you if you had.
No. No, I could but it would have to be in very specific circumstances.
Right.
He means too much to, for it to be a passing thing.
Yeah. Meeting your heroes is – that's a dodgy thing.
Yeah. And he is like – it's like him and maybe Patrick Stewart, but I know Patrick Stewart would be cool. So like Jim Carrey
right.
– and Jim Carrey would be too by all accounts. He's like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's just like he lives in such a rarefied air that it's like how do you – I don't know. He's met too many people. I think he, like you meet too many people and then you have no more room to actually know how to meet a person anymore at a certain point.
Well, and you know once you get to that – the rarefied air that he lives in, it's just – I don't know. It's tough to be a normal –
yeah, no,
you know?
Exactly.
And he's not a normal anyway.
No,
like in the
he never
best
was.
In the best ways.
Yeah. It's like what makes him unique and amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. So he's he's been like my hero forever. I mean, like I talked like Ace Ventura for like 3 years in elementary school.
Right.
Like I mean, like his like all of his catchphrases, like that was my thing. I loved him.
All right, so those movies came out when you were a kid.
Yeah. So
did you have In Living Color at all, or you're probably a little too young for that?
I'm a little bit too young for it.
Yeah.
I watched it later after that. But
so
like
brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I used to have like his episode of SNL that he hosted.
Uh-huh.
I forget for which movie that was for, but his first SNL appearance is also like one of the best episodes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's like where the Roxbury guys are in it. You know, there's the cheerleader sketches with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
There's this insane sketch with him as a lifeguard at a hot tub.
Uh-huh. I remember
and
that.
There's Ride the Snake, which is this weird like weight loss infomercial, which was like the sketch right before the end of the show.
Well, yeah, which is always the weird awesome one.
And it's like basically – I forget that it's like Jimmy something or other. And it's basically, hey, it's a weight loss formula, and it's like crystal meth as a weight loss,
all
and it's just
right.
Jim Carrey just as this maniacal, crazy guy.
Just do your thing.
And it's like him, and then Will Ferrell like does – Will Ferrell is in all these sketches too, and it's like before we knew him as him at
right.
all.
Yeah.
And it's so cool because he's this weird straight man in a lot of sketches.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, man, Jim Carrey like makes Will Ferrell a straight man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he's in this sketch with Jim Carrey, and it's really funny because it's just like they have this like devil off basically with each other, and like they both like explode into blood, and it's like all of my favorite shit about him together in one place.
Did you see the Comedians in Cars episode with him and Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, I didn't know he did one.
Yeah.
Oh, is that good?
It is.
It is? Okay.
Uh huh.
I'm iffy on Jerry.
Rough. Yeah.
I mean, I loved Seinfeld a lot when it was on.
Uh-huh.
It meant a lot to me. But yeah.
So, but now the old curmudgeon that he's become.
Yeah, I just like all the like college PC stuff just makes me roll my eyes.
Yeah.
What colleges are you playing, dude? Like,
yeah.
You don't know yourself. Like, stop parodying your rich friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I agree. He kind of needs to cool with that stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe you should check out the Jim Carrey thing at least.
I didn't know he did one. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's cool. And then toward the end of the episode, they go to his art studio because
he's a painter.
You know, really into that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just exciting. It's like there's that little documentary about him painting that they did, and it made me happy. Like I always want him to be happy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And it's just exciting that it's like, okay, you have something that like makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want you to always feel that. Because like the amount of like joy that he's given to other people,
mm-hmm.
you hope that they can like find some of that for themselves in like a constructive way that isn't, you know, tearing them apart somehow.
Yeah. Is he interested in acting still? Does he – what was the last thing he was in?
Let's see. Well, he did Kick-Ass 2.
Was he in that?
Yeah, yeah.
I never saw that.
Mm-hmm. He's very good in it. It's not a good movie. Uh-huh. I love the first one.
Yeah, me too.
The second one just it forgot what people liked about the first one. But he's very good in it. He's got a couple of like weird small parts in indie movies coming out.
That's a good move for him, I think.
My hope and dream is that like the people that were obsessed with him when we were kids like are just starting to like get power in Hollywood and are starting to make stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see him do some cool weird cameos and things.
Yeah.
Like I feel like people are like, okay, now I can pay it forward to Jim Carrey with like a part that understands him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like I'm hoping that's like what happens next.
Yeah, like you know? He doesn't need to I mean, obviously he's got all the money in the world, but
yeah.
He doesn't need to, even though we love those movies, he doesn't need to do those Jim Carrey movies anymore.
Well, and I think that like the genres of comedy right now have kind of like switched in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. He used to do high concept, highly scripted like movies that were like, you know, very precise.
Yeah, and pretty family friendly for the most part.
Uh-huh. And comedy has kind of like shifted for a minute into these more like kind of like riffy, looser, mm-hmm. you know, more R-rated comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And like Jim Carrey's not like a riffer like that. Even his like physical pieces, like he maps that stuff out and brings in pieces and then he will kind of like play with it on set for like 15 takes or something to get it right. But it's always like pre-planned.
Yeah, that's what I always appreciate about him is you never get the sense that he's goofing around.
No.
Like you can tell he's someone who takes it very seriously and really, really wants to do like the best job that he can do.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And like that work ethic is always one of those things that I've always like really admired with him too, of just being like – you know, there's that scene in the first Ace Ventura where he like they're at the mental institute and he's like wearing a tutu and they do this weird like backwards rewind. That scene that's so silly, but like that's a piece that he brought to set and was like, cool, this is how we're going to do it and we're going to get it from these angles and like I'm going to hit it every single time.
Yeah.
And that's just like
– and it's amazing. Like it's a silly movie, but when you look at something like that and break it down like that scene, it's just – perfectly executed.
Yeah. Nails it every time. And like every – there's no meat on that bone anymore. You know, like it's like every moment that there is something for there to be something funny, like he's analyzed it and like pulled it all off. It's awesome.
So when did Cable Guy come into your life?
Cable Guy – well, I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
Opening day. Which was when? That's like 96?
1996,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it was before Truman Show. So I saw that. I saw it in theaters. I liked it. I think I was like too young to really understand it, but I liked that it was like something different.
Well, there's a lot more going on than meets the eye.
For sure. It's interesting. Like rewatches of it are really interesting too, especially now because there's so much of it that's kind of like been weirdly predicted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like there's that whole monologue at the end where he's like, oh, you can play video games with your friend in Japan.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man.
Pretty soon I even wrote that part down because we did talk a little bit online about, you and I did, just about how ahead of its time it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end when he says pretty soon you'll be able to integrate your TV, your phone, and your computer – do your shopping at home or play Mortal Kombat with a friend from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because that was – I mean it wasn't like he said that in the 70s.
It's 21 years ago though.
Yeah, that shit wasn't going on at that time to that degree.
No. The internet was barely a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I had like a screen name, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like chat rooms was the thing.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I saw the Cable Guy. I always really liked it because there's a couple – I mean, when I first saw it, it was like the big pieces like the medieval time scene I really liked.
Yeah.
You know, there's – and it's also like a little bit dirty because it's like the porno password scene that like
great
I like
scene.
Did not understand. But I was like, oh, man, this is funny and weird. I don't get it.
But you can appreciate that scene so much more now.
Oh, for sure.
It's so great. And George Segal and I wrote down the mom's name, Diane Baker.
Yeah.
And Odenkirk's in that scene.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, first of all, the cast is ridiculous.
There's so many nuggets in that movie watching it now that you're like, what?
Yeah.
Who? What? Are you kidding? Because it's like Ben Stiller directed it.
Right.
Apatow produced it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Leslie Mann's in it. You know, Jimmy Garofalo's in it. It's a Jack Black before Jack Black was Jack Black.
Owen Wilson before Owen Wilson.
That scene is so funny. That salt peanut scene is like, that kills me.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes because Owen Wilson was before like anyone knew who he was, and he was so obnoxious as that douchebag guy when he's, you know, he's clearly not listening to her, not interested in her.
Yeah.
And then says, you're sexy. And she goes, what? You heard me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it makes your skin crawl.
Yeah.
And then the bathroom scene where he gets his ass kicked is like,
feels so good.
Jim Carrey at his like peak physical powers.
Yeah. He's incredibly physical. It's also like this weird like Dada comedy mix. Of, like,
oh, yeah.
I love it when his like, he takes those scenes to this weird like surrealist place. You know, it's like practically nonverbal.
Yeah.
And he's just like dancing and beating him up. And
well, with the jazz thing. Oh, and gosh. I still say anytime like I hear jazz or something, I go salt peanuts. There's a lot of lines actually. This is kind of one of my brother and mine big movies.
Oh, yeah?
That awesome. Will still quote stuff.
yeah.
That line is a big one. And then my brother always throws out, I think he was definitely Asian.
Oh, true. Literally, me and my friends leave voicemails of just that.
Really?
To each other all the time. Yeah, me and my friend Katie. That's like always how we end a voicemail to each other.
It's so great.
It's just so ridiculous.
Well, it's kind of, and I think Ben Stiller even said this in an interview that I was reading about it, that it was basically like an extended Ben Stiller show sketch.
Yeah.
That they gave him, $47 million to make.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal at the time because Jim Carrey, that was the record payday.
I think he made $20 million.
Yeah, $20 million, which was a record, and it was in all the news. It was a big deal.
Yeah,
and like deservedly.
Yeah,
obviously,
truly.
But it like I always felt bad that that's what made the news.
Yeah.
About this movie.
Well, and I think a big reason I love that movie so much too is also that like people, that's kind of when people started turning on him because they're like, "You're not worth $20 million."
Right.
And I was like, "He is though."
Yeah.
Your jerk, like, and I was like, no, I'm going to support this movie. I'm going to support him 100% from here on out.
Yeah.
Because you're going to squander him, like, after he worked this hard to get all of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this movie's great.
Yeah.
Like, people just want to tear people down.
Well, and that was the time where I first started to get on, like, you're right. There was a big blowback from, you know, kind of like what we hear nowadays about these Hollywood elite.
Yeah.
Like, making this kind of dough. But when Jim Carrey makes a movie, especially back then.
Yeah.
That would gross a couple of $100 million.
Yeah.
He is the lone reason. Like,
he's
of
guy.
Course he should get that dough.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's a studio or some shitty executive.
Yeah.
And like, that's an unconscionable thing about
that. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, no, an executive shouldn't get that money.
No.
Like, there should barely be executives. Like, I mean, whatever. I mean, unless you're listening, then you're great. No, I love your side of the industry.
Right. I'm available.
You make all great choices.
But no, like, $20 million, and then they, I don't know when the back-end deal started, but I was all for that stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a, you're the face. It's your face that is risking it too, because of, you know, I mean, that movie tanked and then it kind of like took him a minute to kind of come back from that. And then he came back. That's when the serious movie started, is after Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Because Truman Show is 98.
Truman Show is so good.
The Majestic is close around that time. Whatchamacallit.
I forgot about Majestic.
Yeah.
That was okay.
It's fine. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I understand because he was a huge Jimmy Stewart fan.
Uh-huh.
So I know why he did it because he wanted to make a Frank Capra movie.
Yep.
And it's way too long. But that movie is also so weird because halfway through it becomes a different movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like a love story and then it becomes a Senate hearing.
Yeah,
about McCarthyism.
It was a little weird.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to like go and rewatch that and be like, huh, you guys needed a good editor. But
– yeah.
And then it would have been great, I think.
I was so into Truman Show, though.
I was obsessed with that movie, too.
Yeah. Really, really, really loved that movie.
And also another movie that just has predicted so much.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but like from – like
oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just reality TV in so many ways. Like between – remember that and EdTV came out at the same time.
Yeah. And that tanked.
Yeah. EdTV did not do good. But it's like Truman Show just – it killed it. It was so good.
Yeah.
And and like so that kind of was like Cable Guy was his last real comedy for a minute because
right.
I think Liar Liar was before this maybe Liar Liar might have been shot before this, but his like choices were you know, he kind of moved in a different direction for a while.
Yeah, but Cable Guy was different to me. Like
it's a different comedy from any other comedy.
Yeah, done. For sure. Yeah. Like Liar Liar and Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those characters – well, Ace Ventura was totally a character.
Yeah.
Liar, Liar, I mean, very funny. Like, still some of my favorite, like, Jim Carrey comedy bits from that movie.
Oh, for sure. Well, and also just, like, the height of, like, here is a premise. Let's hit it as many times as we can.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they exhausted it.
Yeah. And, like, that – you know, just a good lesson in comedy writing of, like, how to do that kind of thing.
But this character, Chip Douglas, was very risky for him at the time, I think.
Very.
And again, in rewatching a lot of it today, and then I saw a couple of weeks ago it was on, so I was watching it.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those movies for me, too.
Whenever it's on, I always
watch it.
Yeah,
if it's on, it's kind of hard to turn it off.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The character was just so great and risky and weird and dark.
Yeah, and layered in a way that he hadn't really done yet. Like, he hadn't, you know, he hadn't been written anything that had this kind of sad undercurrent underneath of it.
Yeah, this lonely guy with a with a lisp and
Well, yeah, I mean, all those scenes where they cut from, like, when you finally, like, see his backstory as the little kid that's just, like, in front of the TV with his mom that's going up.
So sad.
And you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And then cutting to, like, him in the future and you're like, what was this guy's life like?
Yeah.
And, like, Jim, he just, he brings, like, he's always, like, he just, like, wears so much vulnerability in any part that he's done. And I think he always has. It's, like, even in those, like, more childish roles, it's, like, to be that physically open is also vulnerable in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's cool to see him, like, use – like, expose himself in, like, that, you know, in so many different ways.
For sure. I did a little research and apparently well, it was originally written for Chris Farley. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Which would have been obviously a completely different movie.
Completely. Do you know that the original Ace Ventura was for Brian Regan?
Who?
Brian, he's a touring stand-up comic. He's like he's a huge guy, but he's like a clean comic.
Oh.
Who he's very good.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you know, I'd probably
recognize him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's but he's like kind of like a tall, like, from Wisconsin. I don't know if he's from Wisconsin, but he has that Wisconsin-ness about him.
Yeah.
Would have been a completely different movie.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey, like, rewrote it completely when he got it instead.
Well, and that's kind of what happened here, apparently. And you probably know all this stuff, but
for the listeners.
Apatow was going to direct, but the studio, he was kind of not a big enough name yet. So they brought in Stiller. But apparently it was much lighter. Yeah. A lighter comedy is originally written by Lou Holtz Jr. And they kept going back. And I think Apatow even fought for screenwriting credit because they rewrote so much of it. And Stiller said in the end he almost for every scene shot sort of a lighter version and a darker version.
Oh, wow.
Because the studio was kind of insistent, even though they wanted the darker version. And I mean, obviously they probably used most of the darker stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
It was black comedy.
Yeah, black comedy. And I think, like, maybe one of the first ones that I knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I – obviously others had existed before, but I think that was the first time it became a thing to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is where I want to live.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think Jim Carrey was – I think the only – the place that he gave was he really was insistent that he die at the end.
Yeah.
But I think they – brought him as close to death as you could and still had kind of a nice ending.
No, yeah, no,
it
definitely
wasn't like a happy ending, but maybe slightly hopeful, which is okay.
No, exactly. You're like, oh, that guy ends up at a mental institute. And maybe he makes a friend, but maybe he gets some weird friends there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, maybe not so hopeful.
Yeah, exactly.
But it never struck me as like a sellout
or
anything that they tagged a happy ending.
No, I think I kind of like it that way. I always like it when his movies are a little bit open-ended because you're like, well, what if? And it's also like that – it would be a little bit too clean if that guy died. You know, it's like – because that guy's always going to be out there.
Right.
You know, that guy's always living. You know, that guy's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like, they don't go away that easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Broderick. Got to talk about Broderick.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And – what was he? The Meg Ryan movie is one of my favorite movies. Oh gosh, I'm blanking out now. Addicted to Love.
Oh, okay.
It's one of my favorites.
Nice.
And obviously growing up with Ferris Bueller and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he's so perfectly cast in this movie.
Truly.
As the straight guy and the
a
scene
tight,
that
yeah.
yeah, tight ass. The scene that really gets me though is the family scene that we were talking about earlier when he goes in early and tells everyone, you know, you look rested. So he's convinced the family that he's losing it and accusing him of all these weird things.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous, but the entire family, of course, is on Jim Carrey's side.
Yeah.
Which that's the only way you could play that whole sequence.
Yeah, you have to.
But Broderick is so good in that one when he eventually snaps. And
he's so good at just being a wound top.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's so funny that we know him in Ferris Bueller as the exact opposite of that, but to see him play that kind of just tight, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's really great. Yeah.
And Leslie Mann, who you said earlier you can never remember her name.
I don't know why. For some reason, I'm always like, not Meg Ryan. It's not Meg Ryan. It's not Elizabeth Banks because she wasn't real yet. There's just something about like that blonde girl that just doesn't like stick with me.
And I used to confuse her with Elizabeth Banks too, I think.
Yeah.
Like earlier in both of their careers before I had a clear distinction.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, she didn't have a huge part in this, but I think that's where she and Apatow actually met.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, fell in love and got married.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, she's good. She's good in it. It's, you know, it's just not, that's not a prominent character.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah. Yeah, it's the two of their like I buy her. She's enough of a canvas that I buy her with Matthew Broderick or with Jim Carrey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in the movie too, really. Like, yeah, no, I could see you just kind of going through life doing your thing.
Basketball scene.
Oh my gosh!
One of my favorite parts in the whole movie is that ridiculous warm up drill that he does.
He's just running back and forth.
Yeah, and then eventually is running like 2 feet at a time and then kind of trips over himself. And the sound design with the sneaker squeaks and everything.
And he's just the loudest steps just when he just runs up to them. Like,
yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's all ridiculous and over the top, but it totally works because, again, it just feels like sort of a Ben Stiller sketch.
Yeah.
Like I had that vibe. I don't know if you ever got to watch that show.
Yeah, yeah. I have that on DVD.
Oh, okay.
That's a DVD that I do own.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was post VHS probably.
Yeah. No, I mean, that scene's just – it's just fun. There's just so many like – it almost like so many – like there's so many like physical pieces that it just feels like it's like – it always felt like it was like Jim Carrey's like comedy growing up a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
There's something that's just like, you know, everything's a little bit edgier, but it's still the same kind of ridiculousness, but it's like not whimsical.
Yeah.
There's like an edge to it now.
Yeah. I think what I really liked about Cable Guy, though, like I loved Ace Ventura and those earlier movies.
Dumb and Dumber, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But they were just comedy, comedy, comedy.
Yeah.
Like I like that Cable Guy had something to say.
Yeah.
And it had that framework of people being glued to their TV. I mean, sort of like Truman Show in a way. And the whole undercurrent of the Sam Sweet trial.
The Menendez brothers. Yeah.
Ben Stiller played. And it, I don't know. It was just kind of cool that it didn't hit you over the head with it. But, like, there was clearly a statement going on there.
For sure.
About latchkey kids and parenting and sitting them down in front of the TV and everyone just being all consumed.
Totally. Well,
so
and like,
it was cool.
And it's interesting because like I wasn't a latchkey kid, but I watched a lot of TV and movies.
Yeah. Same here.
But like I found – obviously I watched the movie in 96 and I would watch it here and there. But then like – here's where we bring up 9/11 on your movie podcast. but I'm from DC basically, and it like obviously was a huge deal,
right?
To everybody, not even just from DC, obviously. But
but if you were in DC or New York,
It's like, well, like on the day, I where I went to high school, like I had friends that didn't know where their parents were because their parents were spies.
Jesus.
So you just like nobody knew where their parents were.
Yeah.
For like hours. And it was the whole thing. I got into a fight with a kid in my health class because he was like, hell yeah, no football practice. And I was like, Tanya doesn't know where the fuck her parents are.
Exactly.
Don't celebrate not having to run laps, you asshole.
Yeah.
So, and my health teacher was like, Brandy's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Got some cred.
Yeah. No, I felt pretty good about it. But I watched – After 9/11, Cable Guy is how I went to sleep every night the rest of my senior year. I watched the Cable Guy like every night on VHS. I like wore out a VHS of the Cable Guy and bought a new VHS of the Cable Guy. Because it just was like something about it was just like familiar. And I was – I think there – it just – I was like, it's dark, but everything turns out okay.
Right.
So it just – something about that movie was just like literally like helped me deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big thing. And also just like – I have always processed stuff, you know. I mean, I remember like watching the towers fall and being like, "This looks like Independence Day," and I couldn't shake that thought from my head.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like I've always used like, I'm not particularly religious, so I use pop culture as, like, a lot – like, uh-huh. a touchstone for, like, you know, like, comparing things and thinking – like, there's so many things that are just, like, that's how my – like, a lot of my morality was, like, you know, Frankenstein together from, like, watching
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Cable Guy was just this weird, like, cautionary tale of, like, don't go too deep into it, but uh-huh. also, like, be aware, be mindful – don't go off the deep end and, like,
right.
you know, like, all of that stuff kind of came together. And it
that's
just
awesome.
That's, like, why it's, like, one of my favorite movies, because it was, like, oh, man, like, I got over 9/11 by watching The Cable Guy. Like, what?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true.
No, I mean, it's the comfort food, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, I watched it every day. And, like, all those scenes, it was just, like, these are ridiculous. These are funny. They always make me laugh.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a darkness here that just
yeah.
felt right
yeah.
in the moment, too.
Yeah, and know? A little substance to it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just, like, you know, there's just, you know, the tale of, like, not becoming that or uh-huh. letting yourself become that. Because
yeah.
I also, you know, I mean, my parents are processing in their own way. And, like, we would talk about stuff. But,
right.
like, how the heck do you talk to your kids about that?
Yeah.
When they're old enough to, you know, and I also was, like, you know, a senior in high school. So I was, like, got to go to college. So it's, like, a lot of, like, what happens when I leave, too?
Right.
I'm moving to a city. What's about to happen? Uh-huh. And so, you know, it just kind of, like, quelled so much of that stuff by just being
yeah.
like, okay, well, at least I'm still going by my real name.
Right.
So I think I'm going to be okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We finish up here on mm-hmm. Movie Crush, the Royal We.
Yeah.
with a couple of things here. One is what Ebert said.
Because okay.
I always like to read a quote from the review.
Okay.
And very sadly, Roger Ebert was not a big fan.
He did not like Jim Carrey. He has come around.
Oh, really?
He came around on it. I uh-huh. remember there was...
He does that a lot, or he did that a lot.
Yeah.
Would appreciate people later on in movies later on.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of his reviews, especially for some of Jim Carrey's like earlier movies in the early 90s,
uh-huh.
where he's just like, what... is happening.
Yeah.
Why do you like this? What did I say with
well,
the
Well, that's a shame, though, to not, like, at yeah. least appreciate, like, maybe the movie itself isn't the greatest piece of art ever.
Yeah.
But how can you not realize you're watching, like, the modern
yeah.
Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin or whoever?
Exactly. Yeah. I think there was a period in the 90s where he got a little bit too, I'm a critic. And then he, like,
yeah.
he decided to, oh, no, there's more to life than this.
Yeah.
I should, like, maybe get off my high horse a little bit.
Right.
And Jim Carrey's, like, rise and kind of, like, plateau kind of was in that part of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So he gave it 2 stars, and okay. here's one of his quotes I pulled. We want to like Jim Carrey. A movie that makes us dislike him is a strategic mistake. So I'll go ahead and disagree with him right there.
I'll disagree with that, too.
Like,
yeah.
I liked Chip Douglas.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted good things for that character.
I know Chip Douglas.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, God, I know so many Chip Douglases.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't know any.
Yeah.
As it is, the movie gets goes in one direction and The Cable Guy goes in another. Don't agree with that either.
Yeah.
And by the end, we aren't really looking forward to seeing Jim Carrey reappear on the screen.
I disagree with all of that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I usually like am pretty on board with Ebert's
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Note to producers, there's an old showbiz saying that satire is what closes on Saturday night, to which could be added another. Black comedy is not what you pay someone $20 million to do.
Really?
So that's factored in as
yeah.
part of the sour grapes, I think.
Yeah,
which
no.
should not have, like, I think as a critic, you shouldn't, like...
Who cares what they got paid?
Yeah.
Is it a good movie? Does it stand on its own?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
So I was disappointed to hear this stuff.
Yeah, it's a bummer. He definitely, like, did not like Jim Carrey's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't his thing, and he couldn't see past it. Because I've always liked his reviews, too, and I've gone back and read his, like, Jim Carrey movie reviews and been like, man, Ebert?
Yeah.
Come on. You wrote Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Like, how
good
much
point.
You take a seat?
Yeah.
I'm sorry this movie was too weird for you. What?
Right. Yeah.
What?
For sure.
Yeah.
Siskel liked it, by the way.
Oh, come on, Siskel.
I should have pulled a quote from him. and then we always finish with 5 questions.
Okay.
And these can be short answers if you want, or long. Doesn't matter. What is the first movie you remember seeing in the theater?
Cinderella.
Okay.
Yeah. With my good grandmother and my brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good gam.
Yeah.
What'd you call her, actually?
Sweetie Pie.
No way.
Yeah.
God, that's adorable.
Yeah, my sweetie pie.
I love that so much. What'd you call the other one?
Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandmother. Yeah. Yeah. She just, or mum sometimes, you know.
Sweetie pie. That's,
yeah.
That will make me smile for the rest of the day.
Oh, good.
First R-rated movie, theater or home?
Total Recall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, I just, yeah, Total Recall.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yeah, I just remember like three boobs and eyes popping out.
It's
like,
I know.
Those are my memories of that movie and like not understanding it. And then when Schwarzenegger's head like opens up.
Did you end up watching that? Like, was it one of your movies after that or?
I always like it whenever I see it now. But it wasn't like, I think I was just too young to understand what was happening. And I like didn't. It was whatever my dad was watching and
right.
I would like kind of pop in on.
So your dad dug it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. He's a big Schwarzenegger fan.
Will you walk out of a bad movie? And can you remember doing that?
The only movie I've ever walked out of – oh, is it called House Guest? That's Steve Martin, Queen Latifah movie?
Yeah. I didn't see it, but I know the one.
That is the only movie I've ever walked out of because there's there's a scene where – and I love Steve Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, and
me too.
It really like broke my heart to see him do a bad movie.
Yeah.
And it like, there's a scene where, so the premise is that he's like a lawyer. Or, I don't even remember, but it's like, he's like a lawyer trying to get this woman's case or a client or something. And she's like an old racist. But then for whatever reason, Queen Latifah comes to stay with him because I think he did something to her and like she like is like, no, I'm staying here until you solve my problem or whatever.
Yeah.
The woman like comes over, the like rich old racist lady comes over to the house and he's like, you can't be here. You can't just like be here. You have to be, oh man, just pretend you're my housewoman. You're my servant.
So right.
There's this weird scene where this lady is just like, oh, we used to have a girl like you when I was a kid. And just like starts singing these like slave hymns at her.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Steve Martin, Queen Latifah, what are you doing?
Right.
And it really like, it made my skin crawl.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember being like, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah.
Oh, I can just leave.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to sit in this. So I it's the only movie I've ever walked out of. And I've stayed through some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
But you could not abide that.
I watched all of Jack and Jill.
What was that?
Well, I mean, I
don't know that movie.
It's that Adam Sandler.
Oh.
But I also didn't pay for it. I snuck into it. But I stayed for the entire thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The only movie I've ever walked out of.
How'd you sneak in?
It was whatever theater we used to go to. Like, they didn't check the other theaters. So if you bought tickets – I remember we watched something.
Oh, so you'd go into one and then go
–
yeah. Yeah, I used to do that occasionally. The buy one, get one free deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'd always, like, double or triple feature stuff at the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think karmically we're all still paying for those things a little bit, right?
Probably. No, probably. For sure.
That's right. I mean, that's, like, the worst shit I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, same. It's like I never did anything bad.
No,
I
was good. I'd sneak into a movie every now and then.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure. What's your big guilty pleasure movie? And if you don't have one, that's okay. But
I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't. I generally don't subscribe to the idea of guilty pleasures.
Right.
Yeah, because I just wear what I like on my sleeve, and I'm
right.
like, no, I like the stuff that I like.
Right.
I know why I like it.
And not like, oh, this is so bad, it's good type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm like still a ska fan in 2017.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, no, I mean, like, that's, yeah, no, it's fine. No, I don't really have anything that I go back and watch a million times. Not anymore. I think all the movies that I used to do like that with,
yeah.
I've watched enough that they're just in there forever
right.
now.
Well, and they're not guilty because you love
yeah.
them.
Yeah, exactly.
All
yeah.
right. Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I call this one Movie Going 101.
Okay.
So what is what are your rituals? Do you like try to sit in the same place? You get the same thing at the concession stand?
Junior Mints is my move.
Okay.
Usually, yeah. And usually I try to like bring them in from, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah, sure.
I hate buying stuff at the concession stand.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I hate it. But in L.A., there's this theater called The Vista that I always go to.
I used to live right down the street from The Vista.
So you know The Vista.
Yes, yeah, so great.
The guy that runs it, he dresses up like the main characters in whatever movie is playing there, and that's how he takes your tickets.
Yeah.
So it's just – and he's this like very sweet like older Asian guy. And he has like a poster that he's made of himself in all these different characters, costumes.
I don't think that ever happened when I was living there.
Oh, man. No, that's what he does now. It's great. He was just the murder clown, just like taken.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen him as a Jedi. I've seen him as Iron Man, as Captain America.
That's awesome.
And he's always just smiling, taking your tickets. Like he's my guy. So yeah. Whatever we see it there.
Yeah. So much leg room and it's just ridiculous at the Vista.
It's such a good theater.
And such a beautiful inside. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that kind of like old Egyptian kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Like the curtains part and it's – I just love
it. Did you know that is the movie – did you see True Romance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the movie theater from True Romance
at
the beginning that's supposed to be Detroit where he meets her at the Kung Fu.
Oh,
And you – it's just that Hollywood magic. They put a fog machine up from the manhole covers.
Yeah.
And it feels like winter in Detroit.
Oh, cool.
But it's the Vista.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to rewatch True Romance.
Yeah. It blew my mind when I saw that. I was like, wait a minute. That's the Vista? That's in East Hollywood.
Whoa.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
That's really cool.
All right. So the Vista Junior Mints.
Vista Junior Mints. I don't sit up close to the screen if I can avoid it.
Uh-huh.
I also don't do 3D or IMAX 3D.
Yeah, same here.
I can't stand it. It's too much.
Hate
and like
it.
That's – the Vista is just the right size.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. I don't like – I do not like 3D. It makes me feel ill.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I did – when it first came back – I think I tried two movies.
Yeah.
And I don't need it. Don't like it.
No. I feel like I can't take it all in. It's too much.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the movie.
No.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, I know that I'm watching a movie.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm an orc.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, but like in life,
uh-huh.
In life I'm an orc, not on the screen. I don't have a TV credit as an orc.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll sit like halfway back if I can with my Junior Mints and kind of just chill out.
With friends or by yourself or both?
Or both.
Yeah.
Both. Like I'm pretty – I've seen a ton of movies by myself, but I also – I like having somebody that I can like deconstruct something with afterwards.
Yeah.
Like I remember seeing the first Kick-Ass movie and like with my friend Joe, and we stood on like the roof of the Arc Light for like 2 hours. Just like I was like ranting about how much I liked Hit Girl.
Yeah.
I was like, give me more of that.
Right.
I want more of that and things.
Yeah. Arc Light's good too.
Yeah. Arc Light's great.
You live over in that area, I guess. So you go to the Los Feliz 3 too? Or?
I live in Eagle Rock. So it's,
that's where I lived.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I live first down the street from the Vista. Mm-hmm. And then eventually when I moved in with my girlfriend, now wife, we lived off Eagle Rock Boulevard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my boyfriend have like a trailer park there that we live in off of Colorado.
That's amazing.
It's pretty sick. I'm like a homeowner.
That's great.
It's really funny because all our neighbors outside of the trailer park have like $2 million homes.
Yeah, north of Colorado there. That used to be our good dog walk.
Oh, yeah.
So we used to love walking over there.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And this was, like 15 years ago, so – Eagle Rock was really affordable back then.
Yeah. No, now it's like, I mean, we couldn't live there if we didn't live in the trailer park.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, I love our house. But yeah, it's like we have like a cheesemonger now. And you're what? Eagle Rock? Okay.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. That's fun though. But yeah, all those East Side theaters. There's like a cheap theater in Pasadena we go see stuff at too.
Yeah. We used to go to Pasadena when we moved out there.
Yeah.
It's just about the same as going into Hollywood, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good time. So I don't have like, I will go to the Vista if the Vista is showing what I want to see, and then I'll go like Arclight second tier, and then kind of whatever after that.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, no, I don't. I'm real loosey goosey. I'm gonna see what I want to see, one way or another.
Right. All right, Brandy Posey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
All right, safe travels.
Thanks.
How fun was that? Very, very cool. Brandy is the best. She's so funny and lovely and just a pure joy to be around. I'm glad she could come into the studio and share her love of the Cable Guy with me. And how about that story? We got to the crux. She loves the Cable Guy because every night of her senior year after 9/11, she watched that movie to make her feel better and to put her to sleep. That was pretty remarkable. When I heard that, it was, I was pretty amazed, and it definitely gave it a little bit of a deeper meaning to why she loves the cable guy. And movies can do that, people. They can make you feel better. They can be your happy place. And that was definitely the case here with Brandy. So go check out Brandy's website. You can just look up Brandy Posey to find her comings and goings and listen to Lady podcast. You won't be disappointed. Super, super funny. And you can always follow her at Twitter at Brandazzle, B-R-A-N-D-A-Z-Z-L-E. Really funny Twitter feed. I appreciate you listening. We'll see you next time on Movie Crush. And until then, don't be a jerk. Throw your popcorn and your soda in the trash can on the way out, right?